It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thursday marks the beginning of the 6th annual Kinks, Locks, and Twists Environmental and Reproductive Justice Conference. New Voices Pittsburgh Women of Color for Reproductive Justice coordinates the event and facilitates conversations on health, wellness, and the environment as they pertain to communities of color. Latasha Mays, founder and executive director of New Voices Pittsburgh, joins us to talk about the evolution of this conference and its connection to the community. Latasha Mays, so great to have you back with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon, Paul. Happy Women of Color History Month in the city of Pittsburgh.
Indeed. And also with us by phone is Ashley Davis, Special Assistant to the Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights for the USDA, one of the guest speakers. Ashley Davis, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here with both of you.
Let me start first with you, Latasha. Tell us what the Kinks, Locks, and Twists Conference is all about, why it was created 6 years ago, and how the event has evolved over the years.
Kinks, Locks, and Twists Environmental and Reproductive Justice Conference began as a workshop, turned into a one-day event, and now is a three-day event focused on health, beauty, and environment. We are happy to host it for the sixth year to really engage young women of color, black women and girls in particular, in both movements for environmental justice and reproductive justice.
And we also would like to encourage folks to call in with their comments and questions for our guests at 412-246-2002. Again, 412-246-2002. How will this conference impact you? And how does the environment and the issues surrounding the environment impact communities of color, particularly in the Pittsburgh area? 412-246-2002. Ashley Davis, we know we have you for a limited time, so I want to get in as many questions as I can, starting with your thoughts on the purpose of this conference and what it's all about.
Absolutely. And so, again, thank you very much for the opportunity and invitation. The United States Department of Agriculture is absolutely excited not only to have a farm bill to work with, but an opportunity first and foremost connect that intersection of the well-being of our bodies, communities, and ecosystems, and in a local and global context. Specifically, food justice, food equality is something that USDA is absolutely interested in promoting further, and this next generation of farmers, ranchers, and those that are going to ensure the conservation of our ecosystem and environment. What better place than Pittsburgh to have this really important conversation?
Ms. Davis, what can you tell us about the Civil Rights Division of the USDA? A lot of people may not be familiar with exactly what you do when it comes to food justice and how it pertains to communities of color.
Absolutely. The United States Department of Agriculture, our Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights, Dr. Joe Leonard, he is actually the longest-serving Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights here at USDA, and within USDA, we actually have the largest civil rights apparatus of all the federal government. We service not only Title VI, which primarily deals with those consumers that seek to access government programs and services, but also Title VII, employees of USDA who may allege a complaint of discrimination or otherwise. And so wearing such a big hat, Dr. Leonard has done quite a bit, not only to focus and ensure that we are improving and furthering the mission of civil rights and equal justice for all, but also doing outreach, ensuring that socially disadvantaged individuals that maybe never gave ag a thought or an opportunity, actually see this as a possibility. There are numerous opportunities, whether it be within our rural development program and the $15 million allocated to support rural business development, and or even within our research, where there's $80 million annually to do funding within SCRI. We are absolutely interested in engaging with new communities and having conversations with ag regarding ag with folks that maybe never saw agriculture as an opportunity. And it is absolutely important the Civil Rights Office stands out front and lets folks know that USDA is open for business in all shades, all colors, all orientations, and all localities.
When you approach citizens in the city, and particularly young people who, because of the urban environment in which they live and may feel sometimes trapped in, who have never considered a career in agriculture or, you know, outside of the city environment. What is it like to open up their eyes to the possibilities?
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful idea. And, you know, as someone who, you know, I graduated from Pitt, not even, 2008. So I'm not that far removed from what I hope is still my younger days. Ag wasn't something that immediately excited me until I thought about all the opportunities that come with it. As a young adult, I think that it's something that you have to make it make sense to the young folks. And to that point, I mean, this is an opportunity not just of business enterprise, but agriculture is something that is essentially at the foundation and the roots of all of our families. It offers us an opportunity not to just engage and innovate, but also to turn the whole concept of ag upside down on its head and show what's really cool about having sustainable livelihood of something that you create, being able to produce and to give back to your community, and quite frankly, also knowing the source of your food and ensuring the integrity of what you're eating and what you're providing to your family. That's something that I think resonates whether you're 28 or 80, quite frankly.
You mentioned the Farm Bill. What is your take on the Farm Bill? You obviously seem happy to have it, but as far as what's in it and how it's going to work this time around, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. We are excited. I mean, the passage of the Farm Bill allows proud men and women to feed millions around the world to quite frankly, invest confidently in the future. You know, no legislation is perfect, but this bill is a strong investment in American agriculture, and it supports the continued global leadership for our farmers and our ranchers. Particularly, you know, our communities will have additional support to attract new economic opportunity and create jobs. You know, during difficult times, children, working families, seniors, and people with disabilities will have, you know, access to nutritious food. And this has been an absolute staple of something that everyone can kind of connect around. But, you know, the SNAP program, formerly known as the food stamps program, eligibility, it keeps that eligibility for millions of low-income families. And we've also focused in on the conservation efforts and renewed that protection and promise to protect our fields, our forests, and waters, and creating new tourism. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. It might have taken us a little while to get there, but we're absolutely happy that we have something to work with, and we're gonna put it to work. To be quite honest with you, we have the leadership of Secretary Vilsack, and we certainly couldn't ask for a stronger leader in that space.
And it sounds like you're happy with the Farm Bill. Do you feel that it adequately addresses the needs of people in urban communities?
There's absolutely no doubt that there could always be, you know, something more to be added. I would absolutely be misspeaking if I said that this was a perfect bill that was sent. But, you know, as we all know, this is a space and a time where you can't expect to get absolutely everything that you want. The president said absolutely that, you know, this bill is important not only to just the everyday American, but also to the country as a whole. You know, we could pick page by page and find more that we want to do. But the important part, especially for urban communities, I would say, is, you know, the next generation farmers and ranchers, for folks that want to stay within their cities but also look to maybe purchase land outside the city and start on their own business. And the local and regional food systems, I believe there's about $30 million that's been allocated annually for the farmers market and local food promotion programs, because quite frankly, farmers markets are booming in communities, and I think they're going to do nothing but swell moving forward.
We've been speaking with Ashley Davis. She's Special Assistant to the Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights for the USDA. She will be speaking on Saturday at the 6th Annual Kinks, Locks, and Twists Environmental and Reproductive Justice Conference in Pittsburgh, sponsored by New Voices Pittsburgh. And we know that you have another appointment that you need to get to, Ms. Davis. So I want to say thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your appearance in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Thank you. It'll be great to get back in the city. I look forward to it. Thank you all.
Sounds good. And we continue on with our conversation with Latasha Mays. She's founder and executive director of New Voices Pittsburgh, talking about the evolution of this conference, its connection to the community. And Latasha, how will you be connecting the new farm bill, energy and environment, and other issues such as that to your New Voices work?
Well, the exciting thing about the Kinks, Locks, and Twists Conference is that it gives us the opportunity and platform to merge our core, our central work of reproductive justice to other social justice movements. Environmental justice is extremely important to the health and well-being of women of color and Black women and girls in this community. So having this forum where we can bring community members together for education, but also to activate them around policy advocacy, particularly when, you know, we know that SNAP was on the chopping block, to make sure that there's a mechanism for leadership led by people in our community to ensure that individuals and families have what they need to live healthy lives and be able to have a healthy well-being. I think that in general, environmental justice in communities of color, you know, oftentimes there is not always a presence of communities of color in leadership or who are engaged in the environmental justice movement. But we want the Kinks, Locks, and Twists Conference is a way to showcase all the amazing, innovative, and excellent programming, community organizing, and development that's happening right here in our city that's led by people of color, led by women of color, Black women in particular, such as Ujamaa Collective. It's going to be an exciting, it's going to be an informative, interactive, and a fun weekend. This is the first time we've had it for 3 days, and it's our biggest and what we believe our best Kinks, Locks, and Twists Conference. Some people ask, well, what does the name come from? How is that connected to environmental reproductive justice?
Where does it come from?
When we look at larger issues of the environment, from toxic waste to poor air quality, access to fresh foods, as Ashley already discussed, talking about the land bank discussions and dialogues that's happening in our city right now, clean water, fracking, those things come to mind quickly. But that doesn't always resonate or always engage women of color. And so for us, in talking about what's a way for us to do that, it came to us that point of entry would be to talk about our hair. Adornment is very important to Black women and girls. But in that pursuit, sometimes the choices we make impact our health and also impact the environment. And that's how we brought together health, beauty, environment, Kinks, Locks, and Twists. That's the point of entry. And people can know that the things that are happening in this community around environmental justice and reproductive justice are connected, not outside of yourself, but right within and around your own body. And so we want to ensure that Black women and girls in this community and our allies are able to come together every year to learn, to act, and to engage in both movements.
How much of a revelation is it for people of color and in some of these communities to think about the environment, to consider some of these issues that you're bringing up that they may never have thought about before?
Well, believe it or not, I think that the issues that impact our environment are always on the minds of people of color. We may not always have the opportunity to participate and engage in very visible advocacy. But as I said, there's great innovation happening right here in the city of Pittsburgh in communities of color like Larmer, like Homewood, like the Hill District. And those are the very important things going on in our city that we want to highlight with this conference, in addition to the work that New Voices Pittsburgh has been doing for the last 10 years organizing women of color and Black women and girls for reproductive justice. We believe that there is a connection to how the bodies of women and how the earth is treated. There's connection to that. We use up women. We use up the earth. Mm. We violate women. We violate the earth. We want to protect our bodies. We want to protect the earth. And so that's kind of our core fundamental reasoning for why movements for reproductive justice and environmental justice are connected. And we want to make it relevant. We want to make it urgent for Black women and girls and women of color to be be paying attention to all these environmental issues because they disproportionately impact us. And then depending on your social, economic, or political position, you know, that will determine the type of environment you may find yourself in, whether it's toxic waste in your communities, whether it's not having access to fresh foods, or the type of transportation that you have access to. All those things are impacting the lives of black women and girls, women of color, and communities of color.
And we were having a conversation earlier this week about quality of life issues in Pittsburgh, and certainly there are concerns about our environment and the air quality, which is many people would consider to be at times substandard, certainly when you compare it with other cities of a similar size. I wanted to go back to the Farm Bill and the SNAP benefits. I know that you were part of lobbying very hard to get those off of the chopping block. How does it feel now to know that, at least for the time being, you know, and this will come up, what, in another 5 years or so, but at least for now, those have been spared?
Well, what I would say is New Voices Pittsburgh only has made a small contribution to the advocacy that has been done by organizations like Just Harvest. Food security is critical in the Pittsburgh community, not just for communities of color, but for all low-income people who are here. So to have SNAP be taken off the chopping block is important. There are people whose the basic survival needs are not being met, and that is deeply connected to the environment and environmental justice. And so wherever there is income disparity, we find greater food insecurity, and so that is a part of kind of the basic human rights that we're always advocating for in New Voices Pittsburgh.
And one last thing I wanted to cover with you is money for energy improvement. Talk about the importance of that and how that affects socially disadvantaged groups.
I think programs like that are extremely important because weatherization in your home, sometimes, you know, you just need greater support if you say you are economically disadvantaged, to make sure that you have energy efficient home. And so any program that's going to create greater access to resources are important. And again, one of our workshops at the conference will be looking at achieving sustainable energy. There's going to be over 20 workshops that are addressing so many issues, from fracking to do-it-yourself hair care. So we encourage people to visit our website at kinkslockstwist.org. That's kinkslockstwist.org. It's going to be fun, exciting, informative, interactive. There's going to be a vendor marketplace. There's going to be a women's health and wellness expo where you can come and enroll in the Affordable Care Act. We'll be honoring 5 amazing community leaders with the New Voices Awards on Friday evening. Tonight is our opening reception from 6 to 9 p.m., and all are welcome to attend. And we will be closing a wonderful weekend of education, advocacy, and leadership development with our closing party on Saturday evening. So we're going to be learning a lot, but we're also going to be networking a lot and really building the relationships to advance both environmental justice and reproductive justice in Pittsburgh.
And again, tonight marks the beginning of the 6th annual Kinks, Locks, and Twists Environmental and Reproductive Justice Conference in Pittsburgh. And joining us, Latasha Mays, founder and executive director of New Voices Pittsburgh. Latasha, it's been too long since your last visit. We hope to see you again soon here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thank you for having us. We look forward to seeing you again and hosting Kinks, Locks, and Twists Conference here in Pittsburgh. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you. Coming up, speaking of things that sound great, how about spending some time in warm weather with grass and sunshine? That all goes along with Grapefruit League baseball, and our travel correspondent Elaine LaBalme is set to take us there next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.